Welcome to Hack Shack Talks, first episode, here with my co-host and first guest, Nick Kanyas. Nick, welcome to the show, Bob.
Hey, how's it going? Good to be here.
So, get it out in the air right now. This is my nephew. So we're going to talk a little bit today about just kind of your playing career and from high school to college and what you're doing now. So, kind of run that through us, man. Like, what's been going on lately?
Right now, just working, man. So, graduated in 2018. Seems so far away. Got my start in medical sales and now working, doing pharmaceutical sales here in San Antonio.
Oh, yeah? So, yeah. So, has, how many years you got in this thing, dude?
In pharmaceutical sales?
Yeah.
So... I got hired February, so here in February will be a year that I've been with Takeda.
And so, how's COVID kind of like impacted like the real world job right now?
Yeah, it's had a huge change, a huge effect on it. I mean, so typically with my job, you know, we're out in the field all day, going from doctor's office to doctor's office, talking to them, you know, building that relationship with them, taking care of their needs. And right now, obviously with COVID, you know, trying to stop the spread and everything like that, we've just been working from home. So ever since I got hired, I've been, you know, pretty much working from home. So connecting with doctors, via phone call, via Zoom meeting, getting them lunch, you know, and still just trying to be a resource for them and their patients during this time.
Right on. Cool, man. So let's kind of get into your playing career, man. So I know you played, high school ball at Burbank.
Yes, sir. The bank.
Shout out to the bank Bulldogs.
Shout out Romeo Barreta.
So from there, I know you talked to us a little bit about your career. I know went through St. Mary's University here in San Antonio and then on to Galveston Junior College and then ended up at West Texas. So kind of take us through that timeline.
Yeah, so I was, like you said, I graduated from Burbank my senior year. I was 6 foot, maybe 135 pounds, soaking wet out the shower. So I was a little guy, you know, not too much going for me in that sense. But yeah, found a way. I got in contact. I emailed a ton of schools. St. Mary's was one that had some interest. So I accepted a preferred walk-on position there. Redshirted my freshman year, which to, you know, for any followers that go directly to a 4-year, I highly recommend redshirting your freshman year. Best decision I made for sure. But yeah, redshirted that freshman year. My second year there, I was head to head for the, you know, competing for that starting job, and you know, they went with the senior dude. Guy was a transfer from Texas State, really good guy. A good player. I felt that I had kind of beaten him out at that point, but you know, coaches saw it differently, which was okay. From there, I connected with the Galveston coach and Alvin coach, and had some tryouts. And then I ended up choosing Galveston, and from there had a good little 2 years there, and then went to West Texas A&M, where I graduated and finished up my career.
Right on. So I know. Kind of take us through like just the jump from St. Mary's to junior college, not playing, getting redshirted, and then going into Galveston, getting some playing time, and then really kind of being the starter from your sophomore year on to your junior and senior year at WT. Kind of just talk us through that transition, you know, what kind of motivated you, you know, what kept you going and really just pursuing this baseball career in college.
Yeah, so it was a huge difference. First of all, the NJCAA has no rules whereas NCAA, you know, your hours are regulated, your workouts are regulated, you have to fit on a time schedule. Junior college, there's none of that. So the coach can literally have you out there from 6 a.m. to 12 o'clock at night. So that was a major difference, you know, and the work was just so much different at the junior college level. In the fall, we would have our conditioning Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. Fridays we would have conditioning and weightlifting, And then we'd go to class. And then after that, we'd have to play a 14-inning scrimmage, and where we played literally every single inning. So it was an adjustment for sure. But it was one that I definitely enjoyed. I was always one that kind of enjoyed the grind, enjoyed the work. And I'll tell you that first year that I transferred over to Galveston, I had already come in. They had already had their guys. They had had their fall. I came in mid-semester, so I honestly didn't get too much playing time. And that was honestly one of the first times in my career where I wasn't the guy. I wasn't the starter. I wasn't the dude. And so that was honestly kind of a driving force, because I never wanted to feel that way again. Like I said, growing up in high school, literally whatever, I was always a starting, always a dude. And that was for the first time I wasn't, so that just kind of made me work a little bit harder, because I never wanted to sit on the bench again like that.
So talk about, like, I know that's a big transition for a lot of high school kids. You know, I mean, you go from being the man in your high school to going to college, and now you're just Joe Blow again. So kind of, how does that feel? And what would you recommend to, like, some kids out there listening to this that are going the JUCO route or just going to college in general? You know, I mean, we tell our kids a lot here at the Shack, like, you get to college, like, everybody was a 3 or 4 pull hitter. Everybody was all state, all district, everything. Like, that's your whole roster. So kind of, you have some advice for some kids out there listening to this, like, that are about to make that jump going into junior college or college baseball in general? Like, just give them some advice, you know, on how to deal with that kind of adversity, because a lot of them are going to deal with it in the next year or so.
Yeah. And the same advice I'm giving here is the same advice I would give throughout college. Keep a short-term memory. You know, you get, like you said, everybody, once you get to the college level, if you play at a, you know, if you play at a good college, which I know everybody's trying to get to, but you know, that just comes with the territory at being at a good university. There's going to be, or junior college, there's going to be all the other guys to the left and your right of you are going to have the accolades. So you just got to find out, you know, what you do that separates yourself, from everybody else. But yeah, I would just say, keep a short-term memory. No one cares what you did in high school. It's all about what you're doing now. And that's even, you know, you have success, you have a good weekend against a school that, you know, it's not promised that you're going to have another good weekend the next weekend. So just coming to it, being humble, listen and talk to what I did. I listened and talked to upperclassmen, and obviously that's, you know, me going to a 4-year out of high school, just really taking the time to talk to the seniors, talk to the juniors, hear about what they've been through, what worked for them, what didn't work for them, where they struggled, you know, different things like that. You can learn a lot from not only your coaches, but from your teammates as well. So that was one thing I always wanted to stay after and work with the older guys and just listen to them and see what they had to say. Some of my best lessons were definitely learned from there and definitely helped me adjust to the speed of the game, which is one of the biggest differences coming from high school to college.
So speaking of that, like, kind of run through a typical day as a college athlete for, let's just say, like, at Galveston, like, y'all get to workouts at 6 a.m. Kind of run me through, like, what a typical day is for a college athlete in junior college.
Yep. Yeah. So obviously, my experiences are going to differ from, you know, say, my roommate Ryan, who played at Alvin College, he had a different experience than me. Coaches are going to be different. Programs are going to be different. But so as far as my experience, we had, like I said, we had conditioning Monday, Wednesday, Friday. That would start at about 6. On Fridays, it started at 5 because we did weights and conditioning on Fridays. Typically we would hit the weights in the morning, team breakfast right after that in the cafeteria. After that, if you didn't have, you either went to class. If you didn't have class, we were in the library, from 8 to 12, doing homework, studying, getting ahead. And then after that, you go home, you maybe have 30, 45 minutes to kind of chill and get yourself together and get ready for practice. And then you're practicing for another 3, 4, sometimes 5 hours.
So it's a grind and a kind of a juggle, like being a college athlete. And
yep.
Like, where do you find time to squeeze in, like, for studying? Because, I mean, obviously you got to stay eligible and pass.
Yep.
So how do you squeeze that in?
Well, so that's actually, I mean, you know, being in the library kind of sucked, you know, having to be there from 8 to 12. But that's where I would really get all my work done. And you know, typically a lot of schools will also have
like tutors.
Little tutoring sessions. Like at WT, we had every Monday. We didn't have practice, but we had study hall. And the coaches would bring in a tutor. And so if you had any questions or needed any help, you just kind of go talk to the tutor. But yeah, at most universities will section out a certain block of time a week for everybody to kind of get together and do schoolwork and catch up and everything.
Right. What about like when you're on the road and you got like out of town games and so forth? I mean, like, do you take your books with you? Like, I mean, typically you studying in the hotel while, you know, downtime, et cetera, like. Yeah. Kind of run everybody through that.
Oh yeah, there was always times where, you know, me or teammates or somebody's doing some sort of work, whether it's on the bus, on the way there, on the way back, in the hotel room. School doesn't care. Sorry about that. School don't care, you know, if you're an athlete, you know, you're there for to get the education, and school always comes first. So coaches understand, and they'll try and help you through it. But yeah, I mean, you got to just squeeze in time, whether it's on the bus. You know, we were very fortunate at WT. We had a pretty nice bus with Wi-Fi on it where we could, you know, knock our homework out. Junior college is a little bit different animal, a little more of a grind. We definitely didn't have that there, but yeah, always having teammates, you know, doing homework in the hotel rooms and everything like that.
So let's talk about like WT now. So like, how'd you find your way from Galveston to WT?
Yeah, so my coach at Galveston, shout out to Coach Lawman. he was good friends with Coach Frady, who was one of the assistant coaches at WT at the time. He's no longer there. But he was good buddies with him, and he kind of just sent him some videos, sent him my stats, talked to him. And you know, more times than not, that's how a lot of it happens. Like, yes, you know, you see coaches come out and watch games and see players, but a lot of the times these coaches have connections all over different, you know, all over the state, different universities throughout the state, and coaches talk. So, as long as you put your head down, man, do your work, the numbers will prove themselves, will prove themselves. And yeah, but it was just Coach Lawman kind of just reaching out to Coach Frady, talking to him a little bit. And yeah, they were able to find some money and give me a scholarship.
Was there any kind of adjustment for you going from now junior college to the D2 level? Like, did the game speed up? Like, coaches a little tougher, program a little tougher, workouts a little tougher? Was there any kind of change from going junior college to the next level at D2?
Yeah, I would say my coaches were easier. Coach Joblin, Coach Joblin over at Galveston was pretty tough, to say the least.
Shout out to Joblin.
Yeah, shout out Coach Joblin. I think he's a scout for the Miami Marlins now. But yeah, Coach Vanderberg over at WT, and I say this all the time, he's one of my favorite coaches, if not my favorite coach. Real players coach, great guy, but you know, when it was time to get down to business, he was ready to lock in. But yeah, coaching I think got a little bit easier. We had a full-on strength and conditioning coach that we would go see at WT, you know, better facilities. So I think the workouts were better. Speed of the game, I was very fortunate. You know, Galveston's in the region 14, I believe, which is San Jack, Alvin, Blinn.
Yeah, we're seeing
some dudes that either, you know, couldn't make the grades to go to a big D1, so they ended up, you know, in our conference, or, you know, they were just going there for a year to get drafted. So it's tough to say. I you know, I face really good talent at both, but I think there was just some dudes that we saw in JUCO. Speed of the game, once you get to the college level, it's all fast, man, and it just keeps getting faster. I never got to experience it at the big league level, but I would assume it gets a little faster for sure. But yeah, I think that junior college definitely did a very good job of preparing me for university.
Yep. So, like you mentioned, Coach V being kind of your favorite coach, and Coach Joplin being kind of the toughest guy. So, you know, for those that don't know, so Coach Nick helps us with our summer program here at the Hack Shack. And so what have you taken from like those two guys into your own kind of coaching, helping with the Hack Shack in the summer? Is there anything you've taken from them or shied away because of them? Like, kind of run us through that, how being in front of those kind of guys, I mean, those guys obviously are there for a reason, right? Like,
yeah.
Both had great careers, winning. I believe both had winning careers.
Yes.
Well, Coach V still at WT, so I mean, I know he's a big. He's got a bunch of wins at WT. So,
yep.
Kind of tell us what, if anything, you've taken from either one of those guys or none of those guys into your own kind of coaching style, et cetera, this in the summers.
Yeah, I mean, just like anything else, you just kind of you learn from them and you kind of pick apart what you do like. You know, you leave what you don't like. A lot of drills that they put me through. I use that in our practices for our outfielders and our hitters and everything like that. Mentality wise, I definitely got kind of just the mental aspect of the game, take different pieces from them, just at bats, different ways to think and relax and calm yourself. So yeah, you just kind of, Take what you do like, what you don't like. I think, you know, Joplin yelled maybe a little too much. So I try not to yell at our guys too much unless I have to. But I'm still learning as I'm going too. I'm not perfect. I'm not the best coach, but still working on it.
Yeah. So best pitcher you ever played with?
Played with?
Played with.
As far as
either at Galveston or WT,
skill, everything, easily Marshall Kozlowski, who is now
with the Dodgers.
I'm not sure if he's on the 40 man, but I believe he was on the 70 man, or is that what they? Yeah,
whatever they expanded to.
Yeah, he's right there. Like he just got a ring with the Dodgers after they won. Yeah. So easily, man, that dude was a beast. I'd see him. He was our Friday night, our ace, our big guy. I'd go into pass by the weight room, and mind you, this man is about to start a game for us in a couple hours. He's in there benching 225, getting a full-on pump. Not just something to get me loose. He's getting a full-on workout. And you know, just getting the opportunity to talk to him, and like I said earlier, just learning from the older guys. And even though he was the same age as me, still a lot to learn, a lot to learn from him as far as just mental aspects of the game. So just seeing how hard he worked and, just the way he thought about different things. It just became really obvious as to why he's at where he's at.
Yeah, I mean, I remember following Galveston, WT, the regional finals, and there was like a 4-hour rain delay, and my man gets the bus driver to take him to like an Anytime Fitness around the corner so he could pump out like iron, like in the middle of a rain delay. I was just like, Jesus God, I'm like, and we're fortunate here. We have at the Hack Shack, Coach Ken Poppy, who played in the big leagues, with the Texas Rangers. So one of his best friends, is a pitching coach for the Dodgers, and he's even said, like, they've had to tell, as an organization, the Dodgers, like, hey, Marshall, slow down. Like,
yeah.
Because he's just, like, crazy. But, like, even that guy says, like, there's no doubt that guy's going to get to the big leagues. It's not a matter of if. It's just a matter of when. But, so how about one of the best guys you've ever faced in your college career?
Oh, easily, off the top of my head, Devin Schmelzer. Sorry if I mispronounce his name. I believe it's Schmelzer. He is now with the he made it up to the big leagues. He's with the Twins, I believe. He just got his first start this year. I don't know if he was, if he remained a starter, but I did get to watch his first start. But yeah, that guy, I'm a lefty for those of you that don't know me. And he was a lefty, and this guy, from one, he wouldn't throw over the top. He had a little bit of a three-quarter action,
yep.
And then on lefties, he would get on the left side of the mound, and then in his windup, he would step towards you in the box, and he already has that three quarter, and his slider would come at your head and break right in the catcher's glove. Dirtiest pitcher I've ever had to face. I almost called in sick a couple times against him.
Shout out to the Twins for giving that guy
a
shot.
Yeah, great. Yeah, that was a great pickup.
That's awesome. What about best hitter y'all ever faced that you were like, shit, I better be on my horse? For those who don't know, Nick played right field his whole career. So guy that you were just like, okay, this guy's coming up. I got to be ready because he can just flat out rake.
Yeah. Man, I mean, that's a tougher question, because I played against a lot of really good dudes. Best hitter, man, I would probably say Ryan January. He played for San Jack. Another dude got drafted. I haven't kept up with him as much as anybody else, but yeah, he hit one of the farthest home runs. Galveston, for those of you that don't know, is an absolute graveyard. Easily about 430 to center field. Wind blows straight in, humid, ball does not fly, and this guy hit one of the farthest home runs over my head I've ever seen. It was one of those, I try not to, when stuff like that happens, I try to be, you know, respectful to the pitcher, give him a jog. This one, I didn't move. It was an absolute moonshot. Every time that kid came up, you had to be ready. You had to be on another level. So, and really the whole San Jack, I mean, one through 10, you know, they had a really good lineup, but Ryan January for sure.
What about best pure hitter you played with?
Played with?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's another tough
game. Game on the line.
Game on the line.
Winning run at third base.
Other than me?
who's up to bat? Who you calling?
Other than me, man, this one's a tough one. I would probably have to give it to my good buddy Tyler Webb, man. That dude, he could just flat out stroke, man. Game on the line, I would love to have Tyler Webb. And he's with the Twins as well, so shout out Tyler Webb too. Yeah. He's killing it.
Good, man. Right on. I remember him and playing at Galveston. Yeah, he could hit. There was no doubt that guy was going to do something with baseball.
Yeah, it was between him or Luis Amaro, man. And I know,
no.
Yeah, and I know if Luis hears this, man, his head's going to grow about six sizes.
I was just about to say that. Like, oh no, not Big Lou.
Yeah, no,
you put him in that list, and now here we go.
No. Oh yeah, he
we better make sure he doesn't know we got a podcast. Hey, listen to episode 2.
And yeah, exactly.
You can't listen to episode 1. Well, you can't listen to episode 1. So, what do you think, like, if somebody called up Joplin and said, hey, tell me about Nick Kynes, what do you think Joplin would say about you?
Hard worker. And I do remember one of my favorite quotes from him. During one of our games, one of our teammates, I think it was one of our pitchers at the time. I had made a pretty nice play. I really held myself to a high standard out in the outfield. And I remember one of the best compliments, because this dude did not really give out compliments too often. But you know, he looked over to one of our pitchers after I made a pretty nice play, and he said, that motherfucker catches everything. So yeah, I would definitely throw that in there. I think my work ethic, you know, it really carried me throughout my my whole college career. So work ethic, and then I still get, you know, Coach Lawman was the assistant over there at the time. He'll shoot me a text. I know he always uses me as an example when talking to his guys now, just about, you know, and not only me, I don't want to single myself out, because I know he throws in Tyler Webb and Mikey Leal. Just our leadership too, man. We were, you know, we had three guys that were just really good leaders. So, and I like to think that I carried that over to WT as well. When it came time for my senior year, and it was time for me to be that dude on the team and the leader. So yeah, just work ethic and leadership.
What about Coach V? If I had Coach V right here and I asked him, tell me about Nick, what do you think Coach V would have to say?
I could think of a couple things, but I would probably say the same thing, man. I just tried to work hard, you know. Giving out a scholarship, getting a scholarship isn't easy. So I just wanted to, everywhere I went, I just wanted to make sure that the coaches knew that they're not wasting their money. So I went with the same attitude, you know, held myself to the same standards everywhere I went. And I think that showed, you know, eventually in my stats. But yeah, I think he would say the same thing, man. Just my work ethic and my ability to just kind of lead the team and everything like that.
So if you could go back and do something different in your college career, what would that be? Not drink as much?
That would probably be the only thing. Maybe skip a couple parties and go in the cages a couple more times, man. But I mean, that's not to say I wasn't in the cages. But I mean, at the same time, dude, you're 21. Yeah. You're in college. You're an athlete.
Yep.
You're going to want to party a little bit, but I mean, at the end of the day, you hear these stories about these freak athletes, like, you know, your Bryce Harpers, your Mike Trouts. And the thing that kind of separates them is, you know, they're the ones that skip the parties. They're in the cages on Friday nights instead of, you know, hanging out with friends. So, you know, sometimes, you know, that is the thing I kind of look back and maybe would change, but at the same time, I had a lot of great memories out of those nights partying. So
yeah, and you had a great career. I mean, for those
exactly,
like, you know, what I mean, like, so I know you were an All American at WT. So
no, I was not. I was not.
No, All Conference.
I got All Conference and first team All Conference and then second team All Region.
There you go. I knew something like that. So
yeah, didn't quite make it to All American.
Was there anything you think you could have done to get to All-American?
I think if I had more stolen bags and more home runs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, stolen bags was definitely something I could have changed. It was something that was just the toughest part of my game. For some reason, I was not a very good base stealer. And home runs, that wasn't me, man. I had the power. I hit home runs, you know, a couple here and there. But I was a gap-to-gap guy, and you know, I was typically a three-hole, and I accepted my role. You know, I never tried to hit home runs because, I mean, that was, again, shout out to Lewis. He was our four-hole, hit right behind me. That was his job. He was a big guy that, you know, that could bang out a home run and helped us out a lot like that. But I knew from early on the way my swing was, my speed, everything like that. I just came to a realization of what my role was. I was a doubles guy, a triples guy. I'm gonna run it out. I'm gonna take an extra bag. That was my game.
Yeah.
But as you see, the game is kind of shifting now to the long ball, to the home run. So I guess maybe those two things. But yeah.
So last question, man, and we'll get you out of here. Like, so, If there was a senior in high school sitting right here in front of you, what kind of advice would you give a kid getting ready to go off to college to play baseball?
I would say, signed already?
Yep.
Okay. I would say work is the most important thing. Work is what got you there. Because if you're in high school, already signed a scholarship, you're not just sitting on your tail, just letting the talent do the work for you. I know, you know, most kids in that position already have the work ethic, but keep working and trust in the process and trust in yourself, man. This is a very grueling game. If you're successful 3 out of 10 times, you're a hell of a player. So Don't let the highs get too high. Don't let the lows get too low. Stay even and just keep working no matter what. No matter if you had a good weekend, a bad weekend, all the more reason to just keep working. That's what I would say. And take care of your grades, because no matter what, baseball is, you know, there's always going to be a time where you're told that you can't play anymore and you're going to have a backup and, you know, your grades are what's going to help you get to that backup. So keep working and make sure you're working in the classroom as well.
Awesome, man. Well, I think we're done, man, with the first official episode of the podcast. We'll be back next time with Coach Anthony Garcia, the new pitching coach for St. Mary's Hall. Looking forward to that next week. Until then, Hack Shack Talk, we out.